I invite you to turn to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4, just a personal word as you turn there. I'm often very appreciative of the music that's played. I was thinking the songs that were picked beautifully represent the message of Ruth chapter 4. It celebrates both God's sovereignty and his providential care and his redemptive work. So thank you. Thank you for that work. Oh, never. I knew they were gone. Ruth chapter 4. If you're using the Bible provided by the church, it's on page 265. Please listen to God's holy word. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. And he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "As a son has been born to Naomi," they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Abinadab. Abinadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. And Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. And Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This ends the reading of God's word. This is the word of God. Thanks to you, O God. Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to read the record of your faithfulness. This book was written for our help. This book gives us hope, biblical hope. It reminds us that your promises can be trusted. It reminds us not only to judge by what we see, but to search for evidence of your providential care. It teaches us that you are in control, even though situations seem out of control. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes and allow us to see wonderful truth in your law. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we conclude our study in Ruth today. You'll remember when we started, the theme of our series is when God seems adversarial. And we were introduced to members of family, Abinadab and, Ahimelech and Naomi, who had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they had to sojourn into a place called Moab because Bethlehem, which means house of bread, had no bread. And in order for their family to survive, they had to go to a foreign nation to find food. And our text tells us that they were there for 10 years. Our text also tells us that Naomi lost her husband. Our text tells us that Naomi's sons met two Moabite women and married them. And then subsequently, Naomi lost her sons as well. When it was time for her to return back, she returned back empty. And from her perspective, it was God's heavy hand against her. We read all of that. I titled this message, "God Notices," because it is very clear in this chapter that God noticed Naomi and Ruth, and he noticed our need. There are a couple of things as evident in this book, both God's sovereignty and his providential care. God's sovereignty is found in his withholding bread in Bethlehem and leading this family to Moab. I want you to think for a second that, I don't know if it was Chilean or Malin, whichever married Ruth. I don't want to assign motive, but I can almost guarantee that the reason he married Ruth was because she was a delightful young lady. He was impressed with her. He wanted to start a family with her. I can imagine he didn't say, "I want to introduce this lady to our family so that she can be in the line of Christ." I can almost guarantee you that that wasn't on his mind. And yet God sovereignly put this family in the path of this lady so that this lady can go into Bethlehem and God could introduce her to a man named Boaz and put her, by his design, into the line of Christ. We see the sovereignty of God all over the place. We also see the providence of God. I'm going to read a definition of the providence of God that the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary gives. It says, "The providence of God extends both to momentous events and those that seem mundane and trivial." It is a mundane and trivial that we see in our text. Do you remember in Ruth chapter 2? Ruth decides, she says to Naomi that I want to go glean food. I want to go work the field so that we can get food. Let me read to you what it says. This is Ruth chapter 2, starting with the verse 2. "And Ruth, the male Moabite, said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her," Naomi said to her, "'Go, my daughter.' So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Now, I'm going to read it because this is what the text says. The next words say, "And she happened to come to the part of that field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech." She happened. It was God steering her to that place. Is Amber Barrett in here? Okay, good, because I'm going to admit something that I didn't admit to her. Hopefully she's not listening. Last week we had teacher training. And I was part of the program in teacher training. My wife said to me, "We need to be there at 4 o'clock. And I thought, "Oh, good, you need to be there at 4 o'clock. I don't have to show up until..." And I just had my plan where I was just going to do whatever I wanted until I thought I was supposed to show up at, I think it was 5 o'clock. I thought I was supposed to show up. And so I came here, dropped my wife off, and I went into my car and I said, "Oh, I have a lot of time just to do whatever I want." And so I went to my office to bring books over here, and that was all done. And I said, "Oh, what else can I do?" And so I walked over to the church, and I thought I was going to join a prayer meeting that didn't start until 4:45. And I said, "Whoa, I got a lot of time." So I'm walking down the aisle, on down the hallway, just this hallway here. And I said, "You know what? I think it's a good idea that I stick my head into the training just to see what they're doing." What I didn't know was God was directing me there because they were waiting for me to start. I had no idea. I was happy. I had no idea. I happened to walk into that room at the right time. That was the providence of God. I want to challenge you in your life where when you think that things just happen and things just kind of roll the way that works for God's glory and for the benefit of His church, that I want you to think that that's really the providential hand of God directing you and protecting you. We see this in the book of Ruth. Also, this book, this chapter also talks to particular people. It talks to widows. It talks to single women. Imagine how difficult it can be for a widow or a single woman after church. When we leave here, many of us go as families and friends, and we go and we have a meal and we fellowship together, and some of our singles and widows have no place to go. They go to their homes. How about Sunday night when after service and they go home to an empty or emptier home? How about when something happens at their house and they need to change a light bulb or fix something that we can have somebody help us fix in our home, and there's no one there to help them? It's sometimes that message for them can be, I'm forgotten. I'm not noticed. No one knows I have need. And this chapter tells us that God knows. I want you to get that from this. God knows. You're not forgotten. He does know you. There's another audience in our church that can be forgotten at times, our divorced women who become second-class citizens in a first-class world, and they can feel like they're forgotten and their significance is somehow lost, that God doesn't forget people like that. So let me share with you that God noticed Ruth, He noticed Naomi, and He notices us. First, He noticed Ruth. If you look at chapter four, the first verse, verse 13, it says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He went into her, and the Lord gave her conception." One of the things that we know about Ruth is that throughout the book of Ruth, she's referred to as the Moabitess or the daughter of Naomi. She is constantly paired with the thing that separates her from the community of faith. She's constantly identified as, "You do not belong." Yet earlier in the chapter, we hear Ruth saying those very words that mirror covenantal language. I remind you that the author of this book said that the events took place during the time of the judges. And during the time of the judges was a particular time. There's a theme that happened in the book of Judges. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes, yeah. And so it is whatever I want and whatever seems right to me, and that Ruth and Naomi were still worshipers of God. They still had this dedication to God. And Ruth said, "Your God will be my God." And she made that commitment that the God of Abraham would be her God rather than the gods of Moab. And she moved there. But one of the saddest things in the book of Ruth is that she wasn't recognized as a member of the community until she married Boaz. But God knew her. He knew who she was, and He didn't forget her. Remember what Naomi said to Ruth when She said, she tried to convince Ruth and Orpah to go back, to stay in Moab. She said, if I had a son today, if I had two sons today, would you guys wait until he grew up and then marry him? I have nothing to offer you. And Ruth's life looked bleak. If she depended on Naomi, there was no hope for her in the future. But God had a different plan. He would cause her to happen to go in the field owned by Boaz and happen to enter into a relationship where Boaz can redeem, be the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, where Naomi can encourage levirate marriage. Just happened to do that. No, it was God's hand that guided that. And so, this is beautiful. Ruth turned from being considered simply a foreigner or an outsider to whose name is forever listed in the line of Christ. She is one of five women listed in the line of Christ. Read Matthew chapter 1. You'll read five women, starting with Tamar and ending with Mary. Ruth is listed as one of the five who are for all eternity now recognized as belonging in the kingdom of God. God took this stranger and included her in. He noticed Ruth. Secondly, he noticed Naomi. This has got to be part of one of my favorite parts of this whole story. Look again at verse 14. This is beautiful. Look at verse 14. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel." Speaking of the child, they said, "He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." This is remarkable, because remember what Naomi said about herself? Naomi said, when she returned back to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, and the ladies of the town said, "Naomi, Naomi," which means blessed, "Naomi, you're back. You're with Ruth." We don't know who this Ruth is, but hey, you're back. Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi, blessed. Call me Mara, bitter. Because the Lord has dealt harshly with me." And so all that Naomi saw at that moment was the heavy hand of God in her life. She didn't recognize what God was doing or going to do. Now, let's not be too tough on her. How many times have we, noticing the difficulties of life, can only see our circumstances, and we do not see the Lord's hand at work? I am thankful for these women, because these women were, in my opinion, an instrument of grace in the life of Naomi, because they told her what they saw the Lord doing in her life. And they said, "You are blessed. You are remembered. God has given you a son. You thought you wouldn't have a son. God has given you a son. And he will be the restorer of your life." Jesus, when he came, he said, "I came to give life and life to the full." He's a restorer of our life. He teaches us how to really live. This child, the women said, will be a restorer to your life and sustain you in your old age. He will provide for you now and in the future. You are blessed, Naomi, because God noticed you. You know what's remarkable about this? These ladies were brave enough to tell the truth about what they saw God doing in their life, in Naomi's life. Now, I just want to personally say that's a challenge to me. There are many times when I listen to people and I see what God's doing in their life and I say, oh, I should tell them. I should tell them what I see the Lord doing in their life. And for whatever reason, I'm hesitant. I just don't do it. Well, I should. Somebody should say something. I mean, if John Franks were here, he would say it. I mean, he doesn't care. He'd just tell you what the Lord's doing in your life. But I find myself hesitant to do that. And I drive home and say, no, I wish I would have said something. I wish I would have just said something. And these ladies did not. So, dear sisters in Christ, be like these ladies in Ruth. When God makes evident that a sister is going through a difficult time and you have the message of grace to share with her, share it. Don't hold back. Tell them what you see the Lord doing in their life and restore and renew and refresh. That's one of the most beautiful things. God is a restorer of life. The Hebrew word is chaya, which makes a stark contrast between one who's abandoned and one who's regarded and cared for. I didn't say this in the earlier service, but there's a picture of God in Zephaniah 3:17. Where God notices you and he sings over you. That's the picture that these ladies did for Naomi. That God knew who she was and said, you think you understand what I'm doing in your life, but you don't understand yet. I'm providing for you. I'm nourishing you. I know who you are. And so before I get to the last part, if you're listening to my voice and you, like Naomi or Ruth, are tempted to think that you're in this all by yourself and God doesn't know who you are and you're forsaken, he pays attention to everybody else, but he forgot you, I challenge you to hear what this text says. God knows who you are. And you may not see the hand of God written or working in your life. Wait to see. Wait to see. Hebrews chapter 12 says, or 11, forget, says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, is that 11 or 12? That's 12. Thank you. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know what those witnesses say? God can be trusted. One day, we will be those great cloud of witnesses. Saying God can be trusted. So hold your opinion on what God is doing until then. Okay, lastly. God cares for his creation. Look at verse 18. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Now, I love the humor that God gives sometimes in Scripture. You remember who Perez was? Perez was a twin. Are there twins here? If you're a twin, raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand up. One of the blessings about being a twin is being the first one. They are more blessed than the second. If you're a first twin, you came out first, raise your hand. Yes, you understand what I mean. Okay, sorry, I saw your hand go down. Sorry about that. But they're the blessed ones. Perez was first in his birth. The nurse when Perez put his hand out of his mother's womb. You can read this. She tied a ribbon around his wrist to say, this is the firstborn. But that sneaky twin that was inside his mother weaseled his way around Perez and came out first. God says, even in Perez, where he was robbed of being a firstborn, God listed him in the line of Christ, the forgotten, the neglected. God remembers. Then you talked about David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God makes a promise that he would establish a kingdom that will not fail. He will establish a king who will sit on a throne, and that king would bring redemption, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that king that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah chapter 9 when he said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And these are my favorite words. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You know what the Lord of hosts references? The God of might, the God of angel armies, the warrior God, whose hand cannot be stopped, is that God who says nothing will destroy the kingdom that I'm building through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a sure promise. In Luke, we're told that Jesus Christ, that baby born to Mary, was a descendant to David. He restored what the fall took away. His death gave us new life. He transferred us from the dominion of darkness and put us in the kingdom of God. He took us where we belonged and took us out of that darkness and placed us where we had no right being outside of his grace in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, where we find forgiveness and redemption. God has not forgotten you. He knows that we all have a need to be restored, to be renewed, to be rescued. And he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. He noticed you. He died for you. He lives for you. And he's coming back for you. God notices. Shall we pray? Thank you, God. Father, we thank you that you are the God who notices. You saw Ruth in her vulnerability and Naomi in her grief. Your people in their need for redemption. You saw us. We praise you that when what often looks ordinary, hidden, and painful, or even adversarial, is never outside your sovereign and providential care. Yes. Teach us to trust you when we cannot trace your hand. Teach us to believe that you're working when we cannot understand your ways. And teach us to rest in the truth that you are always faithful to your covenant promises. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our true and greater Redeemer, who restores life, sustains us by his grace, and brings us into the family of God. Send us from this place with renewed confidence in your goodness and with hearts ready to notice and care for others as you have cared for us. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and King. Amen.